Good morning. It's John 6 to 19. I have revealed you to those whom I gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me. For they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None have been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that scripture could be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my glory within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is true. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, and they too may be truly sanctified. God bless the reading of the word.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Guide us, O God, by your word and Holy Spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover peace. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. When I was a freshman at Pitt, a book came out that changed my life. This book was called The Last Lecture, and it was written by a professor of computer science, Randy Pouch. Before giving his lecture at Carnegie Mellon University in September of 2007, Pouch was diagnosed with terminal pancreatic cancer. So the book is a written form of this lecture that he gave an auditorium of college students about how to live a meaningful life. I don't know about you, but I think certain books come into our lives at certain times for a reason. And this book came into my life at a time when I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do when I grew up. See, I had gone to college thinking that I was going to become a high school English teacher. But I learned that a love of literature is not the same thing as a love of teaching teenagers grammar. This book also came into my life when my own father was dying of a terminal illness. And I needed to be reminded that life is beautiful, and you should still chase your dreams even when they feel far off and crazy and out of reach. So just as this book, this last lecture, came into my life at the right time, I think Jesus' disciples received what we call Jesus' farewell discourse at the right time in their life and journey. Sunday is the last Sunday in what we call Eastertide, or this season of Easter. Jesus' disciples are in this place of transition. See, Jesus is about to leave them and ascend to the Father. And his disciples fear that they have no idea how they are going to carry out their mission without Jesus being physically present with them. I have always found it helpful to think of Jesus's farewell discourse as you would a last lecture. In it, Jesus prays to the Father, and in so doing, he offers his final and his best advice to his disciples regarding how they are to live as they try to carry out their mission once Jesus returns to the Father. If Jesus' disciples take nothing else away from his earthly ministry, Jesus wants them to remember that they were put on this earth to share the good news of Jesus with the nations. That this gospel of Jesus Christ is the only hope humanity has for a new world order. So, in order for his disciples to carry out this mission, Jesus prays to the Father on their behalf. And in his prayer, he prays for three things: for unity, for protection, and for sanctification. Jesus begins his prayer, "Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one." Jesus knows that the disciples' mission to share the gospel with the nations is a tough one. And Jesus knows that the disciples are going to encounter many obstacles along their journey. In order for them to fulfill their mission, the disciples are going to need to constantly return to God as a source of comfort and strength and energy and purpose. Because the days the disciples have ahead of them are going to be long. What Jesus is trying to do here is he's trying to encourage his disciples to have the same sort of relationship with the Father that he does. And this is a relationship that is characterized by love and mutual respect. Jesus goes on to pray, "My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one." You'll notice that in the Gospel of John, Jesus is quite clear that being a disciple is not an easy path in life. In fact, the disciples are going to face a myriad of persecutions. This makes sense to me that Jesus would be so honest about this, because remember, Jesus has just faced crucifixion at the hand of Roman authorities. So Jesus doesn't want the disciples to disengage with the world. What he's asking for here is for God to protect the disciples when they encounter the evil one in the world. And Jesus does this because he doesn't want the evil one to distract the disciples from their mission. Jesus concludes his prayer by saying, "Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified." To sanctify someone or something means to set it apart, to make it holy. Jesus wants his disciples to be holy because he wants his disciples to prioritize their mission over anything else going on in their lives. This holiness, this purity of focus, will make the disciples more effective sharers of the good news. And sure, holiness is something the disciples can practice and strive for on their own, but they will also have to learn how to rely on the grace of God when their own efforts fail. Friends, we're kind of at an interesting moment in Jesus' story here. We are coming to the end of 7 weeks of Easter. And the purpose of these last 7 weeks is to prepare us, or modern day disciples, to participate in the mission of God in our own lives. Next week, at Pentecost, we're going to learn what exactly our mission is. And we're going to brainstorm ways that we can participate in it. But before we do this, before we receive our mission, I think it'll be helpful for us to take a week and reflect on how we can start to prepare ourselves for this mission. So I have a couple of reflection questions to get us going this week. First of all, it's worth asking, how am I drawing closer to God? You all remember those spiritual disciplines we talked about during Lent. Things like prayer and worship and confession and fasting. These practices all aim at helping us draw closer to God. They are ways we can discipline our bodies and our minds to discern the movement of God in our lives. I would also like to argue, now that it's pretty safe for us to be around people again, another helpful way to draw closer to God is by spending time with other people who are making a point of drawing closer to God in their lives. Now, these gatherings, these conversations don't have to be elaborate. They can happen over coffee, they can happen over board game night. The point is to see what other people are doing that is drawing them closer to God and think about, maybe, do I want to start doing this in my own life? Another question worth asking as we prepare ourselves for Pentecost is, what is distracting me from following God? Now, I think these distractions look a little bit different for all of us, but they are not super helpful when we are trying to follow God's will in our lives. For me, I must confess, the social media app TikTok has become a huge distraction and time suck. I know some of you have no idea what this is. You're better off, because you will lose hours watching cat videos on this social media app. For others of you, a distraction might be that super chatty neighbor who insists on talking for 30 to 45 minutes every time you pull in and out of your driveway. Others of us can find ourselves getting sucked into arguments online that never actually resolve themselves, but make us angry and emotional. The problem with these distractions is that it makes it easier for the evil one to mess with us. So, for example, if I'm going to allow myself to get sucked into TikTok videos, I'm going to be late, or I'm going to procrastinate doing whatever I'm supposed to be doing and not watching these videos, which is just going to make me surly, and it's going to ensure that whatever I'm supposed to be doing or whoever I'm supposed to be meeting with is not going to get my full or best attention. Friends, the last question worth asking as we prepare for Pentecost is, what in me needs to be made holy? What needs to be sanctified? Again, this looks different for everyone. For me, my desire to be in control of all things at all times is something that I need to constantly and continually offer up to God. This is a part of my personality that, despite my best efforts, I seem to be making very little progress in, apart from God. For others, it may be anger over a childhood trauma or incident. Others may need to learn how to let go of a dream they had for their lives and start living the life they have. Whatever it is, we offer these things to God, not because we necessarily think that God is going to change it or take it away right away, but because we know that without God, we will make no progress on it. Friends, this past Thursday, the church celebrated something called Ascension. On this day, the church celebrates the fact that Jesus has now returned to the Father, marking the completion of his earthly ministry. And in so doing, Jesus proves once and for all that Jesus is fully God and fully human. What's really important about ascension is it marks a new chapter in humanity's relationship with God. Because of Jesus, we now have the possibility of having the type of relationship with God that Jesus has with God. Because Jesus took care of the sin problem for us on the cross. And it is only in the context of this restored relationship between God and humanity that we have any hope of fulfilling our mission of sharing the good news of Jesus with others. But before this transition happens, before we go out into the world to share the good news of Jesus with others, Jesus prays to the Father on our behalf. In his last lecture, Jesus promises to be with us always. In fact, Jesus ascends to the Father so that he can constantly offer intercessions or prayers to the Father on our behalf. So even though he is no longer physically present with us, Jesus is with us always. Friends, as we prepare for this transition from Easter to Pentecost, I want to leave you with this good news. The good news is that Jesus Christ has risen. He has ascended, and he now sits at the right hand of the Father. Let us now go out into the world, equipped to share the good news of Jesus with that world. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen.